I've never been taken down a notch or two and liked it anymore. We had a great time this morning. I'm so thankful to be here and find out what the Lord's got for us tonight. Amen. You have your Bibles, going to be in John chapter number 9. Gospel of John chapter number 9 this evening. And I want to say thank you to the good way that you treat my mom. If you treat her rough, I'll have to come back. Won't be happy. Y'all treat her so good, and we're so thankful. I'm glad that she's here. Amen.
Really am.
And God's been so good to us. I just don't know what to say about it. Just try to think of words that would describe his goodness. There's just nothing there. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. We'll come to John chapter number 9. It's just a great chapter, and he's going to do some healing here and some miracles here in a minute. And do you ever wonder why good people have heartaches and troubles? Why do bad things happen to good people? I'm asking you, because I don't know. I really don't. Exactly right. When I was about 8 or 9, a word came into my vocabulary that I learned to hate. Hated the word. The word was because. You know, Dad, can we stop after church tonight and get an ice cream? No. How come? Because. That ended the conversation right there. And the word because means I'm Dad and you're not. And I know why we're not stopping for ice cream, but I don't have to tell you. And I hated that word till I got kids. And then it became my go-to word, amen. I believe sometimes God says to us, because I'm God, you're not. And I know why. He does. He knows why. But he's not obligated to tell us. Read with me in John chapter 9, verse 1. The Bible says this, and as Jesus passed by, saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now to me that seems a little incomplete. And as Jesus passed by, saw a man as blind from his birth. I feel like we got into the middle of a conversation here. I feel like it's like saying, and green beans. I want to know what else was there before I got to the green beans, amen. So go back with me to chapter number 8. Now, chapter number 8, he begins with the lady that's brought, taken in adultery, and it really bends the Pharisees out of shape. They've got their teeth gritted, and they hate him. Boy, they go to attack him, and he scorches their hides in chapter 8. Go back with me. I'd like to read the whole thing, but y'all don't have time. I got plenty of time. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your flesh ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now you tell me that's not hard preaching. And because I tell you the truth in verse 45, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. He said, you're all lost. Verse 48, then answered the Jews and said to him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Is that the best you got? That's what you're going to come back with? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I do honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There's one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, and now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham's dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Amen. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Right there's when they blew up. The top blew off the volcano. Then took they up stones in verse number, whatever that is, I can't see it. Verse 59, to cast at him. And Jesus hid himself and went out of the midst, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, so now we're kind of caught up. Called a bunch of liars. He said, you're not saved. Your daddy's the devil. Well, that's the flesh he did, and you do too. You don't know God. That's scathing preaching. And then they pick up stones. Now, they're not. They want to kill him. They wanted to kill him in chapter 8. They couldn't do that. And the Bible said he went right through the midst of them. And as he passed by, he sees a man which is blind from his birth. Verse 2, and the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said thus, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Father, would you help us tonight? We desperately need you. Lord, I feel like you got something you need to teach us tonight. Lord, my heart needs what you got. Lord, we get it straight out of the Word of God. But Father, would you help us tonight? I don't know who's here, and we don't know what we're going to face on Monday. The devil will come, try to tear us down, try to wreck us, try to steal the seed that's sown. Father, would you defeat him in our life for us? Would you help us when we go through hard times? Keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Now, these fellows in the back booth come to me with that little slick piece of paper and said, you got to sign this. And put the name of the message down in the text. And I understand what they're doing. But I'm not going to be bound by that. I told him, I said, just because I write this down, don't mean. But I do want to preach on this thought tonight, the mystery of suffering. So now they come across this man that's blind from his mother's womb. He's suffering with blindness. And the disciples want to know why and who did it. Now that's what we want to know. This lady that's come up found out she had pneumonia. Now it's in cancer four stage. The little boy that's, I don't know how old he is, but he's got pneumonia. Why did that happen? I'm telling you, we want to know what's going on, and specifically if it's something I need to do to change. That's what I want to know. When affliction comes in my life, I don't look at everybody else. I look at me and say, boy, I really must be out of bounds here. I'm going to. I wrote these thoughts down, and I want to share them with you tonight. Then we're going to go have ice cream. That's the balm of Gilead poured in the wounds. I want you to see, first of all, the blind, I call him the one that suffers, the sufferer. Bible said he saw a man, and the Bible said this, which was blind from his birth. Now, as far as we know, this is the first time Jesus has ever come in contact with this man. But he knows about this man from his birth to when he passes by that day. That is a comforting thought to me. He knows him. He knows me. He knows every misstep I've taken. He knows every victory that I've done. He knows every failure that I've done. And he still loves us, amen, and still takes care of us. So the blind is there, and he's suffering. Now, here's what the disciples said. Disciples asked him, say, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, they hadn't thought this out very much. And I'm not throwing off on them. We have the ability to read it over and over and think on it and study it. They're just walking by, and they blurt out this statement, who did sin, this man or his parents who was born blind? So he's there, and he's suffering. Now, some suffering he alleviates. The Bible said this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him out of all of his troubles. I'm glad there have been times in my life when I've had affliction come to me, suffering come to me, heartaches come to me, and I prayed, and God has taken it out. Amen. Oh, isn't that a blessing? Ever prayed and God answered your prayer? I'm not talking about a corporate prayer where the whole church is praying for something, but you go into your closet by yourself and you cry to God, and he comes along and takes care of that thing, whatever it is, takes it out of your life, smooths it over. You get past it and say, Shazam, that wasn't that bad. He don't ever say Shazam. I was messing with you. But you get past that. Look, we broke down. Thousands of times, I guess, in nearly 50 years. And I've come to realize that right down the road, there could have been a major thing going on that God just pulled me over right here and said, you just stay right here on the side of the road for a little bit. When this clears up, I'll let you go. Tell you, I've lived it. Some suffering he alleviates. Some suffering is to afflict us. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, and he cried to God three times, and finally God said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Some things he comes to afflict us. I believe there are some things that come into some people's lives that keep you from getting bigger than you think you ought to be. My dad was really good at diagnosing these thoughts in teenage boys' lives. I mean, when I was about 15 or 16 years old, I got big and my dad said, you think you're hot stuff? I said, hey, when you're hot, you're hot. Teenage boys. He said, go around the back porch and get that 5-gallon bucket we washed the car with. And I learned a long time ago not to say why. Because then you got to get up off the ground. And you got to do it anyhow, amen. And I went and got the bucket. He said, I get the water hose and fill it full of water. And I did that. He said, now ball your fist up hard as you can and stick your arm right down in the bottom of that bucket all the way. And I did that. He said, now pull it out and see how big a hole you leave. Well, there wasn't a hole there, Brother Robert. Oh, you know, you'd think that as important as I am, when I pull my arm out of that bucket, there'd have been a hole left there. But there wasn't. He said, that's how important you are. Some suffering God brings in our life to afflict us, to keep us from thinking that we're more than we ought to be. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Some is to afflict us. Some suffering can be avoided by obedience. Obedience. I believe it's the single most important word in the Christian's vocabulary. You just do. It's better than sacrifice. Amen. Obedience. And when when they pull you over and give you a ticket, it's because you were not, look up here, obeying. Oh, me. Huh? Some suffering can be avoided. Some to alleviate, some to afflict us, some he can be avoided, but all must be accepted if we're going to live the Christian life that brings honor to him. So we see the blind, the sufferer. Notice number two, the blame, or I call this the source. So the disciples asked the Lord, who did sin, this man or his parents? Now, if its parents did and the suffering comes on the child, that'd be one thing. But if, since he was born blind, he would have had to sin in the womb. See, they didn't think this thing through all the way. And neither do you and I when we start questioning. I wonder why that old boy's having all that trouble. I bet he's a sinner. Hello? I've been a-wondering about her a long time. I just bet, hello now. Huh? Who's the source? This is what we want to know, because if we can find out who's wrong, we'll sue them. If you lived at Camp Lejeune between 1953 and 1986 for at least 30 days, you have a lawsuit in the making. We are a litigious society. We want to find out who's to blame, and then we're going to do something real bad to them. Who's to blame? They want to find out the source. Now, some suffering is because of our sin. We don't have to do that as much as we do, and then wonder why we got this wrong and that. Hello? Some suffering is because I did it, and now I'm paying for it. Had to have back surgery because I picked up stuff being stupid. And I paid for it. Some suffering because of our sin. Some suffering is because of other people's sin. You hear about a family on the way to church, and a drunk driver crosses the road, wipes out the family, and walks away from the wreck. We have an acquaintance in our family that adopted a little girl. The little girl's a grown woman now, and every decision she's ever made in her life has been the wrong decision. She was addicted to drugs when she was born, because her mother was taking drugs when she was pregnant. It's not the little girl's fault that she was born addicted. It's somebody else's fault. Now, it's not always somebody else's. Some of it's ours. Some of it's our sin. Some of it's other sin. Sometimes affliction comes and God allows it to speak to others about what's going on. Give an example. There's a guy named Daniel. Daniel's probably 90 years old or about that when he gets thrown into the den of lions. Daniel has nothing left to prove to God. He's one of the three that God said, these are my three right here. But the politics of the thing, they hated Daniel because he prayed to his God. And they went to the king and said, you're the bestest king that ever lived. Too bad there's not a decree made that nobody could bow or pray to anybody but you for a set amount of time, 30 days. And the king got his thumbs under his gallows and said, that's a pretty good idea. I wish I had that. One of them said, I got it right here. And he signed it. When Daniel knows the decree's signed, he goes and opens the window and prays as was his custom. They're watching and catch him, and he's thrown into the den of lions. He hadn't done anything wrong. He is innocent. But boy, didn't it speak to that king the next morning when Daniel was still alive. And in speaking to Darius and being written down, it spoke to me and everybody else that studied it out and looked at it. Sometimes God allows suffering in your life to talk to your children and grandchildren. Sometimes they may need to see this is how a Christian goes through trials. This is how a Christian goes through heartaches and the den of lions. They go in and they come out because God has magnified himself in their life. And it may not be anything but what to do with what you've done or not done. It's to show your children and grandchildren, your neighbors, your friends, this is how a Christian ought to behave. Some suffering, we're talking about the blame, the source. Some is our sin, some's other sin, some God allows to help others. Some is because we are human. About that old psalm, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's the human nature. It's the nature of men, mankind, I should say, to do wrong. It's our nature. And if we yield to that nature, it will take us the wrong direction every time. Some is our sin, some's other sin, some God allows to speak to others, some because we're human, and some of it is simply a mystery. And we'll never know the reason why. We just have to trust God that he knows what he's doing. So we see the blind, the sufferer, the blame, the source, page 2. I stole that. That's Paul Harvey. The blunder. Now we're talking about the spin. You know what spin is? It's not me, it's him. I wasn't even there when it happened. Couldn't have been me. It's somebody. It's the Democrats. No, it's the Republicans. That's it. No, it's the spin. What happened? Now, everybody else is guilty but the one. Everybody else has done wrong but me. If everybody just get out of my way, I could be a good driver. We're not willing to take the blame for anything we've done. That's a childlike attitude. Blaming little brother, blaming little sister, blaming somebody else. If you're a parent and you have one child, it's easy to be a parent. Something gets broke, something goes wrong, you beat that one, problem solved. Bada boom, bada bing. You got two, it's hard to be a parent because they'll lie on each other. They'll lie about each other. My daddy didn't have any problem. He had four children. Something went wrong. He didn't even ask. He just beat us all. Just solved the problem. I got a witness here. And he started with me. I was the oldest while he was fresh. When he got to my little sister who was here this morning, whom we really didn't even need in the family in the first place, he was wore out when he got to her. She never got anything she needed. And I'm hardly ever bitter about it either of them. Almost over that. Blame. Not me, somebody else. The blame. Everybody else is doing it. What's a sign of the times? There's been a great falling away, and I'm part of that. No, you're not. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Paul wrote that. We're just going through this phase. Preacher, we'll be back. Huh? Well, I can serve God down at the Riverside just as good as I can in church. Huh? But see, it's not scriptural. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Amen? Aren't we having a good time? We're getting closer to the ice cream. Y'all just hang in there a little bit. Just stay in there a little bit. The blunder, the spin. Now, the word mistake and the word problem are not found in the Bible that you've got with you tonight. The word mistake's not in here. The word problem's not in here. So what we've done is in the spin, we've taken the word sin out, the word iniquity out, the word transgression out, and we've inserted problem and mistake. Now, what's wrong? Well, you know, they just made some mistakes. Well, if it's just a mistake, you can call Dr. Phil. Well, what's the problem? Well, that's the problem. They just got some problems. Well, if it's just a problem, call Oprah. Get it fixed. But if we call it what it is, which is sin, now we got to deal with God about it. You can't go to a man or a woman or a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a counselor or a symposium or a conference or a this or that. You got to go to God and say, I have sinned. It's just taking the spin out. It isn't you and it isn't anybody else. It's you and it's me. Our oldest son passed away when he was 9. Our daughter went off to Bible college. And that left Brad, our youngest son. I don't know, he is 16, 17, 15, something like that, whatever. It doesn't matter. And he's now our pastor. And something got broke in the bus. We lived in an old bus, Greyhound bus. Something got broke, and I knew that Leslie hadn't done it. She'd gone off to Bible college. Jeannie didn't do it. I didn't do it. That just leaves one. That's Brad. So if I bust him, the problem is solved. So whatever it was, I couldn't remember what it was. I went up there and sat in the front seat of the bus, and I waited for him to come in the door. Now, what I go, I said, it's the childlike thing that says it's somebody else. I'm going to beat him when he comes in. So it wasn't long, the door opened before I could get up and say anything. He said, hey, Dad, I've been out looking for you. I said, really? What you looking for me for? He said, I broke something belonging to you, and I didn't mean to do it. It was an accident. I'm real sorry, and I come to tell you that I'd done it. I'm real sorry I did it. I said, well, let me tell you something. Okay. Because if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse from all righteousness. At that moment, he became an adult by saying it wasn't anybody else, it's me. We'd be further down the road in our Christian life if we quit blaming everything and everybody else and say, not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the prayer. Yes, sir. So we see the blind, we see the blame, and we see the blunder. Now let's look at the blameless one. He's the solution. Huh? And so the Lord says this. They said, Master, who did sin? Verse 2, this man and his parents, he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Now here's the reason. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Why are you going through what you're going through? So God can be magnified. Why are you suffering from what you're suffering from? Now maybe because of sin. But he wrote it down and said, so that the works of Christ, God can be made manifest in you. This is what he wants when he brings suffering our way. This is what he wants when he brings affliction our way, is for us to turn to him and say, boy, I have sinned. I didn't mess up. I didn't make a mistake. It's not a problem. It's a sin, and I'm going with you, to you about this. So we find the blameless one. Now he says this, and he runs a little rabbit in verse 4. So it's okay, preacher. I must work the hearts of him that sent me while I was not, and he talks about that. And then the Bible said in verse number 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation of sin. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. So now we have the solution to the blindness, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whether you and I want to admit it or not, he's the solution for what's wrong with us. My people, which are called by my name. That's not the politics. That's not the TV people. That's not the athletes. If my people, which are called by my name, love themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then when I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. Our land needs to be healed, but you cannot legislate healing. You cannot litigate healing. You cannot educate healing. It's got to come through confession and God doing that work. So we go to him because he's the solution, because he's the blameless one. Amen. I'm glad. Now, when we go to him, there should be a questioning time. You say, should you question God? It's not wrong to question. It's a wrong to accuse. Why do I have to work this job? Why do I have to drive this car? Why do I have to be married? No, that's a bad example. That's accusing him. When he hung in Calvary, he said, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, he's God in the flesh. He knows why. That's written so you and I would know why. It is not wrong to go to God and say, if you'll help me understand what's going on right here and show me the solution, I'll be glad to confess and get it right. That's the questioning I'm talking about. Going to him, not going to somebody else, but going to him and saying, where did I get off track? Where have I gone wrong? How can I get back in favor with you? The prodigal son leaves. You know the story. He leaves with the ride and the ring and the riches and the robe. He comes back with none of that. He only has one thing, and that's repentance. And that's all dad cares about. Because the dad's got more rings and more rides and more robes and more riches. Is God loaded? He's loaded. He don't need our things. He needs us to say, I left and I should never have left. I've gone off and I should never have gone off. I've gone astray and I never should have done that. So there'll be some questioning time. Then there needs to be some quiet time. Ask him, then shut up. There's something powerful about silence. Get somewhere. Don't mute the phone. Turn the stinking thing off. You can abide without it for a while. It's 36 hours from any place nearly in America to the Philippines where we go. 36 hours in the air, in terminals, where we are, layovers, you don't have a phone for 36 hours. We make it just right. And you can get somewhere, get quiet. He speaks to us times of quiet. Questioning time, quiet time. Then I'm pretty sure there'll be some quitting time. Not quitting God, but quitting stuff he tells you about in that quiet time. I wrote them down. Quit conforming. You don't need to be like the world. Let me tell you something out of love and tenderness. May I tell you something because I love you? I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not angry at anybody. Honestly, I'm not. The Lord knows my heart. If you got a tattoo, there's not a lot you can do about that. Probably got it before you got saved. I'm telling the ones that don't have one, you don't need it. It isn't going to help you any. Quit trying to be like the world. First of all, you're going to get it where nobody can see it. But then when nobody sees it, now you got to wear something revealing. I feel conviction falling tonight. Quit conforming. Quit consorting. Quit asking everybody else what they think about it. Go and find out what God says about it and do that. Quit coveting. Quit complaining. Saw a sign in a pastor's office that said the 11th commandment, thou shalt not whine. Quit consulting. Find out what my horoscope says about this. Quit comparing. Quit crying. Quit chasing. Quit corrupting. Quit covering up. Should I continue? Now I better. We see the ice cream getting close. We see the blind, the sufferer, the blame, the source, the blunder, the spin, the blameless, the solution. And then we find the belief, the satisfaction. So here's the blind man, blind from his birth, never seen anything. I can't even imagine. I can't fathom that. You and I, we just can't. We just can't. But blind from his birth. And he's standing there or sitting there begging alms, you know, whatever he's doing. This conversation's going on. He probably hears pretty good. Who's sin? This man or his parents? I mean, my mom and dad didn't sin. I didn't sin. That's probably what he's thinking. And the Lord goes into what he says. There's a conversation going back and forth. Then he hears this. Now, that's not a very good sound. But he doesn't know what's happening. The Lord's reached down and made up a little mud pie. Put it on the boy's eyes. His eyes have got to be sensitive to touch. Mine are. If I had my eyes closed, all of a sudden I feel this stuff jabbing up and grinning. Mess me up. I wear contacts in these eyes. I can't abide one grain of sand, one hair, one nothing. I can't abide one anything under that contact. It drives me. I got to get it out. I can't imagine having mud rubbed in your eyeball. We got a friend up in Illinois. His name's Fred Smith. I told him I thought it was an alias. If you knew him, you'd think it was too. Rebuilds old cars and old pickups in the 30s and 20s. I said, tell me about these. He took me to shop. I said, tell me about this stuff. He said, well, he said, the more original stuff I could find and put on them, the more valuable they are. They make some aftermarket products, and he said, when I can't find anything, I'll put that on there, and I tell the customer, this is original, this, but this is an aftermarket door. He said, I paint it up, and it looks all right, and it works good, but it's not as good as the original. I believe the Lord remembered, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He formed a man out of the dust. I believe he said, I'll go back and use some original material to fix this old boy's eyes. And he said, maybe if I put some God-like DNA in with that original material, I believe that'd fix this old boy up good. He said, you go wash this out. I believe he had 20/20 vision. Why are you going through what you're going through? I don't know. I don't have the answer. But he does. Well, what's the old song, Farther Along? We'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. I don't know now. I'll know one of these days. When the Lord let our little boy die, 9 years old, I wasn't angry at God, but I did ask why. Down the road doing evangelism, serving God, preaching. Wasn't living in sin. No. Living the way we felt like God wanted us to live. I didn't know he was going to use that to take me to Romania and Philippines and Vietnam and Honduras, Mexico. You just got to be patient to get through that. Let God reveal what he's got on the other side. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this evening for just a while. While our musicians come, we prepare to have the invitation. Father, we don't always understand, and Lord, when we do ask you a lot,